This is May 22nd, and the next meeting will be June 12th, 1994, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
And I think we need to just discuss, in as intimate terms as we can, a subject that I am sure is known to some of you, which is called fear. One of the side effects of all of the infinite changes that you are experiencing in your own life and in around you, globally, there, if you're paying close attention, unless you're very, very centered in the self, you are probably aware of some fear. If you are not, then either you are grounded in the self or you're not looking. So I would suggest that you begin to be willing to be terribly frightened. I would like for you to realize that the way to work with fear can be done in two ways. One is successful and the other is not. The successful way we'll leave to second, but the unsuccessful way is perhaps how you have been doing it low these many years. And it works like this. All of a sudden, you become afraid of something. Let us say you wake up and you have a tremendous pain in your body. Well, it could be nothing other than lobster Thermidor, but in your mind, it's cancer, it's whatever. Something arises, and you become paralyzed. If you could watch and slow down the process, you'd find a lot about yourself. The first thing that happens is you begin, it's as if someone has thrown a net, a fisherman's net, over you. And you are there pinned. If you are in bed, you are then pinned to the bed, and as if this net has engulfed you. And then the struggle begins. And what you're looking for is a hole big enough to escape. Understand? You're looking all around this fishnet. I'm stuck. I'm pinned to this fear. There must be a way out. And so you spend time laying there, scurrying, looking for the opening. Now, what your mind will do is to come up with a pseudo-solution. It will come up with a maybe. It will come up with an idea that might work. It will come up with a rationale. For example, if you wake up and you're filled with guilt, and the mind will begin its process of, well, it really wasn't my fault. The other person was equally responsible, and I was only doing my best, and nobody ever understands me, and I don't know, whatever your own little story is around guilt and yourself. But what it is, my friends, again, is the net has descended, and you are looking for a way to squirm away from this uncomfortable feeling. I want you to understand that it is you are only trying to escape an uncomfortable feeling. You are not escaping a reality. You're escaping an uncomfortable feeling. And feelings come and go, and feelings, most of the time, are false. Most of the feelings that you have about something, about someone, about a situation, on close examination of honesty between you and other, or you and the situation, will reveal that both sides, deeply within themselves, had very important, interesting, and different points of view on the subject. You are not running away from a dinosaur that is real and breathing down your neck. You are running away from an idea from the dinosaur age, something ancient, old, out of the moment, not present, out of ideas, not out of the reality. And it is this infinite struggling to get out of the moment, which is how we describe this fishnet feeling. Do you all understand what I mean? It isn't something that you think, well, if I lay here, I will be able to come up with the perfect solution. Because obviously, laying in bed at that hour, there is nothing that one can do except perhaps go back to sleep and forget about it until one awakens. At that moment, the simplicity of what you are doing opens up the excitement of now what to do. So our first statement to you, please, is to stop running away from your fear and be absolutely willing to feel it utterly. No escape. No escape. No mental excuses, no ideas, no future hopes. Somebody says, well, that means that I can't think about my problems. And that isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this overwhelming, irrational fear that sneaks in when your body is asleep. And when you finally begin to awaken to these images that have very little reality in the daylight. And those fears, at that moment, there is a second way of dealing with it, which we would like to suggest for your consideration. All of you that have been so patient all these years understand the basic idea, the basic truth as we perceive it behind all of these fear situations. And this is the truth. The truth is that if you could just stop your escape mechanisms, which are mental, if you could stop the escape mechanism, which often is physical, well, I'll just get up and get out and start doing something. If you will just choose to surrender to the moment. You know, when people talk about surrender, they usually mean surrendering to God. And that's very blissful. And they're willing to surrender. But when I say, no, I want you to surrender to exactly what is happening to you now without trying to run away, make excuses, tell lies to yourself, make up stories, drama, create infinite drama. No, stay right in the moment. The willingness, please, to just really pay attention to the feeling. Do not tell stories about the feeling. Do not make up ideas. Just feel that feeling fully and totally. In that simplicity, what arises is a very interesting, absolutely interesting revelation. Now, this is also true of physical pain. We have told you in the next few years, tremendous work is going to be done on how to begin to alleviate physical pain in a non-medical model. Because what they are finding out about medical models to relieve pain usually means that in some way they have to deaden a part of your psyche. In order to relieve the pain, they deaden the psyche. They deaden the parts of the psyche that you want to keep alive, that you want to have at your disposal. Let us all postulate that I know this is a very new idea to you, but all of you are going to die. Every one of you in this room is going to die. And if we could postulate that end moment, which you all share, and people very blasely say, well, I'm not very afraid of dying. Well, let's see. Let us see. But the interesting thing about understanding and working with that ultimate end is it reflects back some very simple things to do. When you know you are dying, there is no escape. That is the wonder of death. I've told you again and again that at the moment of death, there is a window. There is always a window. I mean, the Buddhists say this clearly. There is a window at death. No matter what your past, what your karmas, whatever, there is an opening. And a window means simply that there is a spatial, amazing openness of consciousness that you can easily flood into and move with that will carry you to the truth of consciousness. It is always there at death. This is why death is very hopeful. Death is very, very hopeful. Now, when you are pinned down and there is no escaping from death, many of you who work with the dying find tremendously exciting things begin to take place. Why? Because they have stopped running. There is no way to get out. It is finished. No more stories, no more hopes, no more this, no more that. It's just, well, this is it. This is the great moment of the this is it. And in that moment, the relaxation of the body takes place, and what you begin to awaken to is, and I want you to hear this, please. Many of you in this room have some continuing pain. And what I ask you to do, as much as you can, is instead of working with the pain in some way to get rid of it, is to begin a direct approach to it that says, I just want to be aware of pain, being present in this moment in a body. Not in my body, in a body. If you will be willing, please, to just feel pain as being present without saying, I am in pain, I am in fear, just being willing to say, ah, pain is present in body, in the body. In those moments and moments and moments, again and again, of the simplicity, what happens is you begin to realize that pain is something that exists in the body, but that you do not have to identify with, succumb to, and fall into it. This, if I've told you before, is one of the new ideas coming out of people's desire to have a way to deal with pain that does not deaden the rest of your life. Do you see that? More and more of you are saying, I want to be fully conscious and present. I don't want to be out on some kind of a drug that makes my body at ease, but yet doesn't make me aware of other parts of reality. You want to be whole. You know, this is a word that is thrown around your environment a lot now. It's called holistic. And everything now is holistic. Well, this is a holistic concept, is the ability to be that which observes the pain that is present, to know that pain, as seen just as pain, is experienced quite differently than pain that says, this is my pain. Because if it is your pain, then you have to do something about it. You have to get rid of it. You have to try to understand it. You have to, I don't know, whatever one might do. But when you begin, and this is the simplest thing of all, the next time you have a headache, try it. The next time you have anything wrong, without the stories about, without, oh my God, I'm in a mess, I have to get my whatever, just stop and be willing to experience pain as being present in a body. And what happens is a distancing, a very gentle distancing that allows you the breath and the space to be in the presence of some of the most excruciating pain and not have that terrifying compulsive edge to it that often accompanies pain. Example, you have decided that some pains are pleasurable and others are not. Giving birth to a child is pleasurable because of the end result. We are asking you to use that same idea about any pain that arises. I know this is the rotten tomatoes will now be sent. But what I'm trying to say is I want you to look on your pain as the teacher and the gift and the grace of the moment. Not something that has been sent to you to get over so you can find God. Not something that has to be understood and examined and go back hundreds the problem is you just used to go back hundreds of months. Now you go back hundreds of lifetimes. You know, you've complicated your lives a lot when you discovered about karma. Now we have past lives. Well, now, oh, well, it can't be this life. It must be the last life or when I was Cleopatra or, you know, whoever it was. But there's always another moment that you can escape to. But that is not where... That is not where pain ends. Why does pain, if it is all these pains, why do they cease if you stay quietly in the moment? And this is the most important thing I will say to you today. It ceases to be the overwhelming, overpowering focus because in the presence of the self, which is in the moment, when you are in the presence of the self, I tell you absolutely, all needs are met absolutely in the self, in the moment. I say again. All of the needs are met absolutely in the self, in the moment. The self is that which gives you everything that you really need, everything that you really desire. For example, when you think about all of the martyrs who threw themselves into fires and into lions and all of this, they didn't do it for the fun of it, you know. They didn't say, what fun. They did it because there was a knowing, there was a belief within them that even in the moment of that most intense fear, there would be present, in their terms, God, in our terms, perhaps, God, as well as the deep self. When the self is present in your awareness, you can take anything. You can not only take anything, but you can take it with a grace and an ease and a softness that is not present when you are struggling with it, when you're wrestling with it, when you're trying to get rid of things is distancing. It puts a negative spin on the moment, and it keeps you out of the tremendous comfort of the self. The self is what comforts. Does the self always take away the physical pain? Maybe yes and maybe no. But it is the presence of the God self that makes every moment absolutely as magnificent as any other moment. And I'm begging you to consider absolutely moving instantly out of thinking into the deep silence of the moment. There is not one of you that cannot discover intimately the power of the silent moment. Not one of you. And it isn't hard to do. Why? Because it is your essential nature. I will tell you, my friends, it is far harder for you to go out and create worlds and figure out things and get things accomplished and work out whatever it is. That is far harder than the simplicity of into the silent moment. And in that silent moment, you will then be in the presence of the one thing that you have been seeking anyway. You would not mind the most painful experience if you knew it would result in your awakening to the God self. Women do not mind the birth process because they know the pain of it, if there is such a thing present, results in the birth of a beloved child. They know that, and they are willing to take the pain for the result. I'm asking you to take the same truth now and apply it to whatever your pains are. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. Stop trying to escape the moment. And just be willing to have the pain present in a way that you are simply not fighting it any longer. That it is what is present in the moment. It is what is. If you are terrified, if you are guilt-ridden, if you are full of fear of the future, fear of the past. I mean, do you know, my friends, they're endless. Aren't they endless? When are these fears going to end? Do you have an idea that someday you're going to wake up and say, well, that's good, I'm through with fear. That's it. Well, now, you have examples. You know, you have as one of your greatest examples, someone called Christ, and he's hanging on the cross, and for a moment, he fell out of the self. And for a moment, he fell out of the self, and he said, Why have you forsaken me? You know, what's happening? Because he fell out of the self. He fell back into the fear. He fell back into the moment. But because he was what he was, it didn't last very long. And he was able, under those most excruciating circumstances, to move back into the self. And then what do we have him say? He says, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That is a statement from the self. That is a statement from the heart of God consciousness. Forgive them because they just don't know what they're doing. That is a self statement. And I want you to be understanding that all of the trials and tribulations of whatever nature that are present in your life are not there as some kind of a hurdle that you have to jump over in order to fall into the arms of God. You have been trying that endlessly. Well, I'll get through this one. Well, I'll get through this fear. Well, I'll get this next job. Well, I'll just make this next payment. Well, I'll just get my child through this trauma. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll get over this. And then on the other side of this hurdle, then I will fall into the lap of God. And what do you find? You find as soon as you get over one hurdle, you wake up and guess what? There's another one right in front of you. And if you're very smart, you look down the road and you see endless endless hurdles. And that, what is the teaching? That you have to keep on being a first-class hurdler, and he who hurdles the best wins the prize? I mean, you know, you've got to stop and say, what's going on? And what's going on is, it's in the midst of the trials and tribulations where your freedom lies. Not outside of them, not before it, not getting over it, not, and the worst of all is, I will tolerate this until I die, and then when I die, it will be gone. How do you know that? How do you know that when you die, all of your problems will be solved? What happens if you die and wake up and find out, good heavens, here they are, a little bit different. They look a little different. I don't have a body. That's true. Well, good for that. That's finished. But how about all this other? How about all of my fears? How about all my paranoias? You know, paranoia is available on the other side just as well as on this side. You know, there is no wall that says paranoia stops here. You know, things move back and forth. Who you are is who you are. And we're asking you to get excited by your trials and tribulations. They are the place for your opening to the truth of the light in the midst of it. And how? By thinking about it? No. By analyzing it? Heaven, no. By discussing it with everybody you meet? Good grief, no. You see, you perpetuate your own dilemma by talking and talking, and you get a consensus. If enough people are interested, then the ego says, oh, look, this little problem that I have is getting me what I want, which is other people are paying attention to me. Oh, good. I think I'll keep it a little longer. As long as I have this problem, people are paying attention. When I'm well and healthy and rambunctious, nobody comes to visit me anymore. You know? Your own rendition of whatever that is. You know, so the moaning and the groaning, in order to make yourself understand it better, to analyze it better, to find a way out of the net, all of that comes from this constant telling of the story to yourself and to others ad nauseum. Not only for yourself, my friends, but to your friends as well. So what are we suggesting? What would you talk about if you weren't talking about your problems? I want you all to think about this in the next month. What would you talk about if you weren't always talking about the difficulties and the problems and how to solve them? It is one of the main ego mechanisms that binds you together. And I would tell you that when you begin to get on to the joke of that and the wonder of that, you will begin to free your life so that you find yourself being able to talk about endless things that bring light and delight to the other person as well. Because you well know that when you drag your shadow into the moment and start going on with it endlessly. Watch the person in front of you. They begin to take on the flavor of whatever it is you are talking about. They begin to, if I could put it this way, pick up, I know I don't like to talk this way because people get very upset, but pick up some of the, here comes that awful word, the vibrational frequency that you are emanating. You know, you are humming out something. And as you hum out, they, no matter how high they may have been when they entered your presence, they will exit in a different state. And you have to realize that as transmitters of humming, you are only humming devices. I'm sorry to be so blatant, but you are a wonderful humming device. And everywhere you go, no matter what you're saying or doing, you are constantly humming, and so are others at you. And so when you begin to understand that this is the single responsibility, which is just to say to yourself, does my discussing, does my talking about, does my going through it yet again, does it do any good? If it does, by all means, continue. But if it doesn't, have the courage to say, we're just filling time. You know, there's this emptiness called time, and we have to fill it. I'm suggesting a very radical alternative. And most of you probably won't even listen, but we have to put it out there anyway. Your world, all of your worlds, individually and collectively, would be so much more peaceful if you weren't so noisy. If you weren't so noisy, your worlds would be so much more peaceful. One of the terrifying things of the advent of the television is that you never have to be quiet. There's always somebody to listen to, somebody to respond to. Whether you know it or not, as those figures come up on the screen, you are responding. I don't care what kind of a event you're watching, you are responding. Your energy field is in that moment engaged. Engaged in what? In a total fantasy. In a total fantasy. Those forms on the screen are unreal in the sense that you are relating to them. They may be real in the sense of human being that's doing the acting, but you are relating, emoting, getting excited about what? Nothing! But it's the same way with your own problems. I'm so sorry. But it's the same thing. You are endlessly making much ado about nothing. Shakespeare was very wise. Much ado about nothing. Over and over. Making more trouble for yourselves. More humbug for yourselves. What is this radical idea? We are suggesting more silence. Quiet, deep, not mental silence of, oh, I have to be silent inside and I have to think and think and think and think and I won't talk. Some people take silence as a weapon and they say to the other person in their house, I'm going to practice silence, which means I'm going to ignore you. I am not going to answer anything that you suggest unless I want to. I'm going to use the power of this silence to, in some way, get back at whatever is imagined. And that is not the proper use of silence. In fact, it isn't real silence. Real silence, we've talked about this before, it comes from the willingness to just stop the thinking process, even for a moment, and just to shut up. Stop it. Be still for a moment, if that's the best you can do. And then another moment. And why is this of interest to you? You honestly believe that things outside of yourselves, conversations, traumas, dramas, disasters, whatever, outside of yourselves, are more interesting than what you take to be this empty nothing of silence within. And what we are asking is for you to give this silence within an opportunity to disprove your mental idea. We are asking you to risk. Those of you who live alone, you're blessed. People who live alone say, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. When you're on your way to opening to true awareness, I don't mean now all of you that are together have a good excuse. Now I'm going to leave you because Bartholomew said that you are blessed if you are living alone. That is not my point of view. If you are living alone, it is because the wisdom of your true deep self has said, this is what's appropriate. What you make of it is up to you. You can moan and groan and cry and twist your hands and try to change it. Or you can say, good grief, is there a divine wisdom at work here that has placed me quietly, silently alone in my world? Is it that I can use every moment this silence, this quiet, to be silent? The moment you are willing to really be with the silence, you will find it is the most exciting, the most interesting, absolutely the most interesting energy field that you have ever experienced. That is my absolute promise. And it doesn't take many times to find it out. You know, oftentimes people, you know, there used to be vacations were set up for the absolute idea that someone could get away from the world in order to just discover what we're now discussing. And, of course, then later on, of course, now we have the Club Med and so forth, and that's a very different kind of a vacation, obviously. What we are suggesting to you is, why does it seem to you that the external world, which rises and falls, which is what causes your pain, the rising and falling of the external world is what's causing you your pain? Face it, it's true. The breakdown of your body, the breakdown of your mind, the breakdown of your health, the breakdown of your money, the breakdown of your car, the breakdown of your love affairs, things are constantly, have you noticed? They're constantly breaking down. And then you have to get all this energy together to create them, to fix them, or to get a new one, or to figure out what to do, and so on. Endless. And the externals are what is giving you the pain. The externals are what is making your life so ongoingly unhappy. And what we are suggesting to you is the simplest of things. If you will just begin to trust that in the power of the silent self, all things are there. I don't mean that there's a new car in there. That's not my point. The things that you deeply want, that you deeply yearn for. You buy a new automobile because it tells you something. It gives you something, some idea. As soon as you get it, somebody scratches it, it's no longer your beautiful car. Now it is a problem. It has a scratch on it. And it is no longer the pristine thing that it was before. So my advice is get a new car and put a dent in it in a hurry and get it over with so that you don't have to go on worrying about the first one to hit your car. The knowing, we're asking the basic trust, to trust that this, how to describe it, this undescribable awareness has everything you want in it. Not every form, not every person, not every luxury, not every whatever, but it has what you are seeking in it now, in the total fullness of it. And if you will just begin to trust that, if you will just stop the endless searching and fixing and turning and adjusting outside to the quiet letting go, just moment by moment, the self will begin to release its fragrance. The self will begin to release its fragrance. If you like the words, God will begin to release its fragrance. And it will permeate you day and night in the midst of whatever difficulties you are undertaking. Now. 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 You do not believe me, because you have been trained very, very carefully to believe that the outside world is what gives you pleasure. The outside world, what gives you what you want. Regardless of your experience, you still believe it. What I'm asking for is the honesty to really begin to examine, is it true? Is it really true, the thing that you've really wanted and get? How long does it make you happy, ladies and gentlemen? I'm asking for a real examination. An examination of your life. Not believing this windbag up here, but to examine your own life. Have the things that you sought so strongly, have they given you, of course, momentary pleasure, no question. Have they given you that which you sought? When you begin to examine with the clarity of your own truth that this is not so, then you will begin to look around with what I hope is the intelligent question, which is, well, if it isn't there, then where is it? Because each one of you knows something, absolutely, unequivocally. You know that there is within you the potential for absolute happiness. Each one of you, I swear this, I don't care what your circumstance, there is a part of you that knows that there is an absolute birthright to happiness. Some kind of deep, abiding happiness. You know this. You wouldn't waste your time. What a glorious day. And thank you all for coming today, because this is a great, wonderful day to do something else. And so here you are. And thank you. And thank you for you, because all I'm asking you is to start being real, telling the truth about your own experience, instead of quoting others and thinking about others, to begin to test the truth in your own life. What really makes you happy? Does what make you happy X, Y, and Z? All right, let us say that you've decided that what makes you happy is have somebody absolutely love you. Are you sure of that? Is that your experience? Somebody says, I love you, I love you. And are you wandering around in bliss for the rest of your life? Or doesn't the moment someone say, I love you, you say, oh, how wonderful. The next thought, how long will you love me? How can I keep you for mine so that nobody else can get you? And are you sure you will continue to always love me? You might love me now, but what about next week? What about 10 years from now? I mean, the minute it arises in you, the next moment is the misery. I'm asking for your honesty. And those of you who have money as that which gives you pleasure, you don't have to look any farther than the very wealthy to realize how paralyzed they are in the tyranny of their money. They are paralyzed in the tyranny of their money. Oh my God, how can I keep it? Where can I keep it safe? What happens if the government takes it? Blah, you know how it goes. It's endless. It's the tyranny. And it's the tyranny of all of these ideas. And the way to break it The way to break it is the simplest of all. It's just shut up. Stop thinking about it, hoping, praying, you know, doing rituals. I need more money, I need more money, I need more money. Well, no, you don't need any more money. I mean, I don't know what your need is. What you need is peace. What you need is total excitement about being alive in the midst of whatever mess your life's in. Because if you've noticed, your lives go from mess to mess. You know, and then you have breaks in the time and there's no mess, and that you call happiness. You call that happiness? That break between when your car breaks down and you get it fixed and then it runs for a while, that's happiness? That's not happiness. We are not talking about the same thing. Happiness is something quite different. It is something that bubbles up from the heart of being and permeates you in the midst of your car breaking down, in the midst of your lover leaving you, in the midst of you losing every cent you've got, in the midst of your own physical pain, in the midst of the loss of a loved one. It's still there. Every awakened one has claimed clearly that they still feel the pain and the sorrow of human consciousness. That's what it is to be a human. But at the same time, running under all of that in this immeasurable river of absolute wonder is the knowing all's well. Because why? Because it's an idea? No. Because the self itself is so present. And what you feel in the presence of the God self, what you feel is the absolute, and here comes the word, the absolute bliss of being. Just of being, not being in a good way, not being in a safe way, not being in a good, just being. The bliss of being. And the bliss of being is present in you right now, fully and completely. I ask you please to not wait until you're in extremity to discover. You know, many people choose very difficult situations in their lives simply to learn this truth. And it works. But because we see another doorway, we would like to present it to you, which is the total possibility of having that same intense yearning to fall into the arms of the silence of the self every moment for its own sake. Not to escape pain and suffering, my friends. Not to escape. For example, if one falls in love because one doesn't want to be lonely, that's one thing. But if one falls in love for love itself, just willing to love for love itself, with all of the risks, with all the possibilities, but just for love itself, not for any external safety, any external idea of companionship, of having two people face the world together, arm in arm, you know, but most of the time it's back to back, looking in different directions, you see, but rarely is that really allowed to experience. All I'm asking is that you begin to be truthful with yourself, that you find out, have the things that you so thought would give you pleasure, have they? And if not, are you dangling yet another carrot in front of you? Is there another golden carrot in front of your nose that you have set up? Another, well, I will get this self stuff and this bliss stuff after I'm through with this painful stuff. That is the illusion. The truth is, the pain, whatever the circumstance, is created precisely so in that moment you can go directly to the very center of that pain, of that fear, of that confusion, of that guilt, and you will discover something very interesting, and it only takes a moment. This isn't something you sit at and look at hour after hour. What are you doing? Oh, I'm looking at the core of my guilt. No, that's not the way it goes. You see, oh, well, how long do you think it will take? Well, at least till dinner time. All right. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. It is an instant happening. And it happens simply in the moment that you stop running. All you have to say is, I'm going to stop avoiding it. And when you say that, with all of the power of your being, those forces that are totally out of your control, you don't know where they come from, you don't know their names. Isn't that grand? You don't know their names. If there's ever one question, the question is always, who is Bartholomew? And our answer is, who knows? And the second one is, who cares? The whole idea that these forces and powers are unknown but absolutely present, your part of it is the willingness to stop. You can say this to yourself, stop running from whatever the feeling, guilt, fear, jealousy, anger, rage, boredom, whatever it is, stop. And you can also do it not only to what you could call emotional psychological states, but to physical states. Stop running from your pain. Stop running from your physical pain. Stop it. See what happens when you stop. See what happens when you stop running. Then something else, a momentum that transcends your limited knowledge of how to be safe in a very, very interesting world. There is a knowledge that knows how to give you instantly a feeling of total safety, security, absolute compassion and understanding in the moment, now. But your part is to stop. Look, the whole world is set up on everybody curing everybody. And it's gotten even worse in the New Age. There are probably more practitioners of how to get rid of everything than in the world that have ever arisen before. Afflictions that used to be taken as all right, so once in a while, you know, you get a headache. Well, now there are endless ways to take care of. You know how it goes, my friends. And if you have nightmares, well, then there are workshops to how to get over your nightmares and so on. All I'm asking is to realize that the human condition has as part of its basis some feelings that feel good and some feelings that don't. And if you'll just stop, does this mean that you have to stop your therapy, stop your doctor's appointments and stop whatever it is? You know that is not my meaning. Those things you must do that you believe will help you. But all that we are asking is, in the midst of getting in the car and going to your doctor's appointment, you can stop. That doesn't mean stop going to the doctor. It means stop thinking, fantasizing, wondering, worrying. What's it going to say? How is it going to be? How will I take care of it? Is this going to happen? Endless down the field of nightmare. Endless potential possibilities. Please, ladies and gentlemen, where is this God within, if not within? Where is this light within, if not within? Where is the self, if not within? And how to access it. All, you know this, you've heard this before. You've heard this before. In order to see the room clearly, you've got to get rid of all the furniture. In order to see the self clearly, you have to get rid of all the furniture. What does that mean? You have to stop this endless addiction to thinking. This endless addiction to moment after moment, so terrified that if you stop thinking, stop listening to the radio or to the television or to other people or to your own thoughts or to the book you're reading or whatever it is, if you're so terrified that if you stop dead, that you'll be dead, that if you stop dead, there's no life, that you are missing it. I've told you until you want to scream, I'm sure, that what you are seeking is total, abundantly, powerfully present now. Has never left, could never leave. It is your true nature. And all you need to do, please, is to clear out the furniture and the self remains. And cleaning out the furniture means stop constantly going back, ruminating, chomping over thought after thought after thought. Do you have to pay attention when you're doing your checkbook? I certainly hope so. That is not my point. That wonderful focus of mind in the midst of doing something exciting and important, putting together a machine, creating an invention, making a recipe, you better be present, making a recipe, you know, all kinds of things. But at the same time, you learn how to stop in the midst of doing. You learn how to stop in the midst of the most intense doing. And it is not something hard to do. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, honestly, I want each one of you to go inside yourself quietly and find out what your biggest fear is. How do you find that out? What do you spend most of your time worrying about? that tells you what your biggest fear is. It takes just a moment. What do you spend most of your time worrying about? All right. Whatever that was, whatever came up in your awareness, I want you to know that that is your way to God. That is your path. That is your path. Whatever this thing is, let us say that you have in the past had a very attractive body, and now as you're getting older, the body gets less and less attractive, and you project out fears of the future of less and less and less until the ultimate disintegration. Maybe that's one of your concerns. Along with that, perhaps disintegration of being able to do with the body what you want. Healthy, alive things, you know, traveling and camping and gardening and breathing and all those other things that one wants to do. What if that is your problem? All right. That you see as the obstacle, I tell you, that is your doorway. Because every time that you find your mind drifting to that energy, every time you feel your mind picking up yet again that bone to gnaw on, the problem with this bone is like dog bones, if you gnaw on them enough, they disintegrate. The problem with these bones, you gnaw on them long enough and they get bigger. It's all the reverse. The dogs have it all on their side. The more you gnaw on these bones, the bigger they get, the fatter they get, the more real they get. You feel them more in your face. You feel them more in your heart. They become much more real for you. When you find yourself picking up that bone, now that's it. Remember, all sounds are mantra. All beings are Buddha. All thoughts are God. That moment is your opportunity. And you can either allow yourself to feel sorry and to try to solve it and to do so forth and so forth. But I would suggest instead that at that moment you remember this morning and say to yourself with as much humility and humor as possible, stop it and drop into silence. Just for a moment. And in that moment, it passes. And then it comes up again and again. It's just the ability to say, stop it, to the rampant, incredible misuse of the mental faculty that is poisoning your life. You are scaring yourselves to death with your own mind, with your own thoughts, things that never happen. When are you going to just be happy? And being happy means stop scaring yourself. In that moment, they've tested this out. In the most intense cases, when real pain is present, when real grief is present, when someone is in the presence of someone with real grief, and instead of trying to explain away and saying things like, it'll be gone in 5 years, just hold on, or whatever it is they say to one in grief, in that moment, trained practitioners of awareness know that you can, with them, guide them straight down fully into that which they're running from, which is the pain of that grief. And what are they discovering? In the heart of that is utter peace. In the heart of that incredible grief, fully experienced, there is something totally different. Because I have told you, and everyone who has ever said anything about the reality of consciousness and awareness tells you that at its heart, it is all the same thing. In the heart of any experience is the same thing. All gold pieces are made of gold. Whatever the shapes may be, their essence and their substance is the same. This is exactly the same thing. At the heart of whatever you are experiencing, if you will just stay and allow yourself to be willing to be filled with total grief, now, many of you about physical pain, I want to tell you something. Many of you with physical pain have more moments free of pain than you realize. But the reason that you're not aware of that is when you're not experiencing the pain, you are anticipating the pain, which is the same as feeling the pain. The focus is on the pain. What I'm asking is to drop out of that, stop telling stories, stay with it. Experiment, please. My friends, you are the laboratory of all of these. And either you will make them your own or you won't. Why do we present this? We want you to be filled with bliss. It's a very selfish motive. We want you to be blissful. Why? Because the more of you that are blissful, the more opportunity there is for more bliss everywhere you go. You know, when you talk about St. Francis, you know, after he had the stigmata, he'd be walking down the road, you know, just being Francis. You know, he didn't know he was anybody other than, you know, Francis. And people along the roadside start feeling better. They start feeling better. Some of their pain starts to go. Some of their real afflictions seem to drop away. And they stayed away. Why? Because this energy field was empowered to such an extent that it had the ability to what? Please pay attention. To ignite the remembrance of the deep self in everybody in the periphery. It's not that he looked at them and said, "You will be well, and you will not," you know, what? As he walked, his being expanded and his being did the healing. And everybody said, "Wow, thank you." And they all wanted to go with him. This is why, you know, thousands following him along, you know, must have been quite tedious. And it was the same thing with Christ, you know. Every time he sat down to contemplate, there's a cast of thousands. Well, why not? Because in his presence, that was present. The being of being. And what happens is, it pulls the remembrance out of you of what is. It pulls the remembrance of your truth, of your being, of your true nature, of that which is really you. And in the presence of them, they remember. And we do not have to find, you know, now the question is, oh my goodness, I have to find a Francis. That's how the brain works. Well, then I need Francis. I need somebody. No. If you find him, fine, good. Say hello. But that's not the point. The point is that this is why at all of the great festivals of the great ones, we ask you so much to honor them with gratitude, because their essence, their eminence has never left this planet. The eminence of their being has never left this planet, and it is absolutely available. Where? Not in your thinking about them as an idea, although that's a good way to start often, but it is in the essence, the just opening, and in the silence. Let me tell you something. They all fit in the silence. All of the great ones fit in the silence. They aren't, you know, little compartments. Well, this is the Buddhist compartment, and this is the Christian compartment, and this is the, you know, Islam, and this is, you know, there's just one big, empty, full amazement. Wordless, formless, thoughtless, speechless, but it's all one. And every one of them, the greats and the near greats, many unsung men and women who have come to vast awakenings quietly, saying nothing, but all of a sudden, the village starts to feel better. They don't know why, but they feel better. In the midst of the misery, there is hope. In the midst of the pain, there is help. In the midst of the loneliness, there's companionship. And they don't know where it comes from. It comes from the unseen magnificence that all of these great ones have manifested fully. And it happens in the silence of silence. Just shut up. In the silence of your silence, you will find, not as some swimming through and discovering, oh, it just is there. And it releases the perfume of its awareness, and it fills you moment after moment. This is all we ask. Don't run. Relax into whatever it is. There is so much there in the moment to catch you and enfold you and embrace you and nourish you and complete you. And it will never happen by following forms outside yourself. It happens in the formless silence of being, and it is ever ever-present. Please, ladies and gentlemen, stop running from your own God. Stop running from your own light. Stop running from your own safety, your own freedom, your own enlightenment. Stop. And in that stopping, you will be aware of what is revealed to you. It will be there, but you've got to stop. And the skill of living is to learn how to stop in the midst of doing. And it is so easy. I repeat as I close, the reason that this works is that the absolute bliss of being, even sensed for a moment, is so much more fully satisfying than anything that you have ever tried to achieve outside of yourself. So please, just do it. Moment after moment, time after time. When the mind is tempted to start getting stories out there, who's right, who's wrong, how to solve it, who's to blame, we've got all of this endless bother, which only confuses all of the parts of your being. Now they're all struggling to find your way out of the net. The way out of the net is to just relax and dissolve. And then you're so light that you move right out of the net. You become so uninterested in the ongoing melodrama because the incredible fullness, the incredible fulfillment of being itself is so compelling. There is nothing more compelling than being. Nothing. Or God, if that's your word. Or the light, if that's your word. Or your true being. All of the rest are shams. Very inadequate, mere reflections of an ego-frightened mind. That's all. So please stop. Please. Well, thank you for listening. For those of you who would like to be silent for 10 minutes, please remain, and thank you for coming.